And welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. The past 4 years weren't exactly the high point for the Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office. A long list of headlines frequently embarrassed former DA Laura Miller, likely contributing to her defeat in the 2010 election. Now newly elected District Attorney Sim Gill is in his fifth month on the job and bringing change to how the DA's office does business. He's also brought resolution to the controversial and disturbing case of DJ Bell. How has the District Attorney's Office changed in Salt Lake County, and what's ahead in the future? Sim Gill joins me now in the studio. Sim, welcome to Politics Up Close. Always good to have you.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Thank you for the invitation. Happy to be here.
Sim, during your campaign, while you were running for this office, you came up with a list of what exactly it was that you wanted to accomplish, a list of mission objectives. Tell me about that to kind of give some insight into where you are right now.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, about a year ago when I was running for office, about 2:30 in the morning when I couldn't go to sleep, you have those sort of soulful moments and you sit down and say, and I asked myself, okay, if I win and exactly why I'm running, what do I want to accomplish? What are the ideals that I want to forward? So I penned at that time what has come to be our mission objective and policy statement, which I've shared with the office. And maybe for the purposes of our discussion today, if I, with your indulgence, let me share that with you.
Okay.
The mission of the Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office is to confront, challenge, and aggressively pursue crime in our community, to be firm and fair, swift and sure in holding offenders accountable for their criminal conduct, to be respectful and responsive to the needs of victims of crime, to oppose crime, promote justice with integrity, without fear of personal, professional, or political consequence, and without regard to race, religion, gender, political affiliation, sexual orientation, social or economic status, to nurture and promote respect for the professionals who serve our community as public servants by establishing high standards of professionalism, fair compensation, a good work environment with adequate resources to provide the highest levels of professional service to our citizens, to be fiscally efficient, socially responsive, and personally accountable, to demand the highest levels of professionalism, competence, honor, integrity and ethics in the execution of our responsibilities in the services to our citizens, to daily earn the respect of our citizens and the trust of our communities with the integrity of our actions and the ethics of our convictions, to restore the public trust, honor, integrity, and provide a pride in our professional responsibilities and judgments, and finally, to serve our citizens. That is the blueprint that I wrote, and that really is captures the essence of what we want to accomplish in my administration coming forward.
And Sim, we'll talk more specifically about that later, but let me start off with a broad question. What's it like taking over as the new boss of this organization where all the employees have been working with somebody completely different for the last 4 years?
Well, I guess it just depends on, first of all, how you approach the task. First of all, I don't consider myself a boss. I consider myself a colleague with my professionals there. From day one, I've told them that the office belongs to the citizens of Salt Lake County. It belongs to the professionals who have made a personal and professional commitment to be in that office. And at best, I'm really only a temporary caretaker for the next 4 years. And I think that sort of helps sets the tone. With any transition when you come in, there are certainly anxieties. There are people who are happy that I'm there. There are some people who may be questioning, why I'm there. They may be concerned. And my goal is to serve all of them. So, you know, I think in any large organization, we have 200-plus employees here. We have multiple prosecutors and support staff. It is a challenge and a daunting task, but one that has been not without its challenges, but certainly very personally satisfying if you approach it with the right attitude and you open yourself as a colleague rather than a boss.
Although at the same time, as the elected official who was voted into office, you do have to make it clear to some degree that they answer to you, right?
Absolutely. Look, I am there because I want to be there. I am there with a certain amount of responsibility, and I have to make those decisions. And I don't shirk that responsibility at all. I want to create an open and inclusive environment where conversation can occur, But the decision at the end has to be mine, and I take that. Look, I'll share with you, not only in the context of our inner workings of the office, but also, I was sitting down with a family in a death case, and sitting down and getting the feedback from them, and listening to my attorneys about the options that we had. But at the end, I had to make that decision. And when we think about whether we're going to ask for the death penalty or take death off the table, mm-hmm. those are my responsibilities. That is my decision. And my colleagues understand that that is something that I'm not going to shirk.
Have there been any changes to the top-level staff there at the DA's office, or has everyone pretty much stayed on?
No. Well, there is. I mean, in the sense that when I came into this office, my commitment is not only to the prosecution but also to build this as an institution. And transitions are not always smooth, and they're not without challenges. And one of the first things that we did was that we reorganized the executive level. And we did it for a couple of reasons. One is that every district attorney after me, and there's going to be many district attorneys after me, should be able to take over this office independent of the ego of the prior district attorney. So we knew that there was a deficit in terms of coming into that, and we wanted to make sure that we give a running start to every subsequent district attorney. So what I did is I eliminated the deputy district attorney position, and we created three appointed positions, which are part of chief deputies. And now every district attorney after me will be able to get at least a policy toehold in for that transition, regardless of what the prior district attorney does or doesn't do. So that really strengthens the institution. It gives it a certain independence and longevity that may be missing. So that was one of the first things that we've done, and we think functionally and systemically it's going to serve the institution very well.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill. Well, Sim, let's discuss some of the specific changes that you have brought to the office. First of all, you've done away with these so-called boutique prosecution teams like the domestic violence team, for example, which did not come without some criticism from what I understand, but you pledged to do this during the campaign. What exactly does this accomplish?
Well, one of the things that we did, and we would, when we came in here, my commitment is to the totality of the office. We came in, we took an assessment of the resources that we have, we saw what were our strengths, what were our deficits, and we are returning back to the fundamentals and the basic responsibilities of us as prosecutors. For example, about 70% of my prosecutors have less than 9 years of experience. About 40% of my prosecutors have less than 5 years of experience. So the reorganization that we did is to consolidate our teams, to reinvest in the professional development of our attorneys, create a linear model with specific skills building that we want people to have, while at the same time not lose out on our responsibilities. So, for example, we've created a couple of other teams. So, for example, the nonviolent felonies unit that we created is going to focus on white collar crime. The violent crimes unit is going to look at the totality on person-on-person crime. So, we have taken the functions of the DV team and absorbed them into that team and increased the number of people who are there. Going into that. And this also allows us to take on the responsibility of DV cases, elder abuse cases, or DUI cases across the board. And I don't think this is something that only a few people should be concerned about. This is something the entire office should be concerned about. We've also, over the next 12 to 18 months, we're going to be creating the first ever homicide unit in the district attorney's office. And again, these are teams with their core functions in mind. We don't take our responsibility any lightly with DV issues or DUI issues or elder abuse issues, but I have to use the resources that I have and also take care of the totality of our responsibilities. We've created two additional teams. We've created one team that I'm very, very excited about is a victim restitution and recovery team, because what happens with victims is that victims find the criminal justice system daunting. We get a sentence in place and the prosecution moves on to the next case, but the case really hasn't concluded for the victim. They watch very closely how the defendant reacts and is held accountable on the probation. Mm-hmm. So the victim restitution and recovery team is to keep our promise with victims after the sentence. And when a defendant does not comply, to bring them back immediately when they don't comply in front of the judge and be held accountable rather than 12 months or 18 months down the line. And then we end up sort of closing their case out. And the victims feel like, again, the system has not been very responsive. And by us focusing on some core cases here, we're going to be able to fulfill our promise to victims and say that your case matters all the way to its conclusion. So I'm very excited about that. And also to be able to recover restitution in a meaningful way for them rather than simply being sent over to debt collection, which has less than 2% recovery rate for our victims. The other thing that I'm – a team that I'm very excited about is that we've created a professional development team. As I've indicated, that we have a lot of young attorneys. Over the last few years, we have not actively invested in the professional development of our attorneys. And the goal here is to figure out what their educational needs are so we can nurture their professionalism so we can do our job competently and professionally.
So you still have teams focused on specific issues, but they are broader in scope than something specific like domestic violence. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. I have, for example, but there are teams that are created that were with a purpose to develop the skill set of the people who are assigned to them. So, for example, we have a misdemeanor team, a drug team, a juvenile team, a nonviolent felony team, which is going to focus for the first time really in a concerted way on white-collar crime, complex white-collar litigation, securities fraud, consumer fraud, a violent crimes unit focusing on person-on-person crimes. We have the gang unit, the sex crimes unit, and then, as I indicated, we're going to be creating the first ever homicide unit in the district attorney's office. When you put all these teams together, they cover the full panoply of caseload that we get, but also moving from left to right, it gives a blueprint for my young attorneys to progress through our institution with skill building as well.
Is there a prevalency of white-collar crime in Salt Lake County?
Well, there is. I mean, look, if I come down here and shake a stick at you and take $20 from you, that's a second-degree felony. But if I push this piece of paper at you and I take $100,000 from you, you know, we want to say it's a civil matter. There is a criminal sanction for that. Historically, we as prosecutors have shied away from that, and we've communicated that to law enforcement. So when citizens call and complain about it, we've sort of by default told them this is a civil matter. But, you know, somebody loses $100,000 or $50,000 or $20,000 of their savings, you know, that can alter the existence of that family. And I hate to say it, and most people know this is not, you know, I mean, Utah does not have the best reputation when it comes to white-collar crime victims as well as accountability. So, you know, that is part of our portfolio of responsibility, and I think we should take that seriously. When I was at the district attorney's office, I prosecuted a case where two very hardworking, a very thriving business, basically a person who had worked their way up through the ranks, had basically earned had a business that was successful. His partner embezzled $350,000 from him. His family's plans were put in disarray. He couldn't send his kids to college. It disrupts people's lives. And so these are serious matters.
One of your goals taking over was to improve collaboration between all the criminal justice agencies within the county. Obviously, you know, you're not the only prosecutor in the county. There's city prosecutors as well across the valley, several cities, municipalities, towns. How has that improved?
Well, you know, it's what I call our decentralization plan. For example, you know, there's this perception out there that the district attorney's office sort of exists separately in this sort of ivory tower by itself. You know what? We're here to serve our citizens, and we're here to serve the municipalities within this county. And the last time I checked, you know, Bluffdale and Harriman and Murray and West Valley and, South Jordan and West Jordan were part of Salt Lake County. Alta is part of Salt Lake County. So our goal has been to decentralize our office, to make it interactively and accessible to the totality of our communities. To that effect, what we've done is the following things. I have personally and my executive team have made direct contact with the chief executives from every municipality, mayors and or city managers, and we're going to see them on an ongoing interactive way at least 3-4 times a year. We have made direct contact with each one of the law enforcement agencies from the chiefs of police and their primary management team. team. I have just implemented liaisons who are directly now embedded with each one of the law enforcement agencies, prosecutors who are directly connected with them. So we know in real time, we're going to know as they what the needs of local law enforcement are, how we can help them be better. They can call us and they've got a point person at the district attorney's office. Mm-hmm. And the idea here is to decentralize the office. And finally, one of the most innovative things that we've done is not only from the criminal justice perspective, you know, my portfolio is also as the county attorney from the civil side. And the head of my civil side has made direct contact, and I have made direct contact, with the city attorneys of each one of the municipalities and letting them know that there is a collaborative partnership here. And the more we talk to each other, the more we approach it as a problem-solving issue, we will avoid litigation, we will avoid unnecessary costs, and we will make the district attorney's office accessible to the totality of the county and the municipality so they don't feel that we're at an arm's length distance from them as some institution that they can't approach, but rather we are here to serve every municipality in our jurisdiction in Salt Lake County.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW, and my guest is Sim Gill, Salt Lake County District Attorney. Sim, I do want to bring up one specific case that you recently brought a resolution to. That's the case of DJ Bell. This started back in July, I believe, of 2008, where he and his partner were severely beaten, then accused of child kidnapping, acquitted of that charge, and then finally his alleged attackers were charged in court. Your predecessor said she always wanted to charge his attackers. She didn't have the evidence to do it at the time. That came later on in her term. They were charged with a crime, and now most of them or all of them have pleaded guilty. To bring us an update on the case.
Yes, absolutely. Look, this was something you know, I was quite vocal about and concerned about. This particular case has been an absolute tragedy in our community. And in some respects, and I'll own this as my personal opinion and mm-hmm. bias, that this really is an interesting test case of things that can go wrong with a case and if you're not paying attention. I believe then, and I continue to believe now, that the people who needed to be prosecuted first are the people who are now being prosecuted, and that we were derelict as the district attorney's office in our responsibilities in fully investigating, fully working this case the way we needed to do, and there were errors that were made along the way or judgments that were that I certainly would not have supported. So one of my concerns coming in was to bring this unfortunate tragedy to its resolution as quickly as possible. Within the first week of coming into the office, I met with the DJ and we talked about where we were. And I told him that I was committed to making sure that we bring a quick and just resolution to this. We discussed what we were going to be doing. And look, I'm the head of this office. I'm responsible for this institution. So let me just say it publicly and plainly. I do not think that Mr. Bell necessarily got the full measure of justice that he and Dan deserve, and that was my job here is to do the best that I can with what we have, and I think the quick resolution in majority of them of the cases here, the principals have been held accountable, and we're finally going to bring this unfortunate incident to a closure.
One of the agencies that was criticized in that whole affair was not just the district attorney's office, but the South Salt Lake Police Department. Are you yourself critical of the way they handled that case? How do you handle that
no,
as the district attorney?
No, I'm not. Look, let me tell you one thing. The district attorney's responsibility, the buck stops with them. That's the bottom line. We do not have scapegoats. We do not throw people under the bus. And we have a collaborative partnership with law enforcement. Law enforcement goes out there and does the best that it can. And a screening process, you know, a felony just does not file itself. A felony has to be presented to the district attorney's office, and it has to be analyzed. It has to be assessed. And our job as professional attorneys is to say, what is the value of this case? Is the evidence there? And we make those judgments. And when we are fully satisfied with the quality and the quantity of the evidence, we sign off authorize the filing of these charges. So if there were shortcomings on the South Salt Lake investigations, mm-hmm. you know, the moment that I I sign off and file the information, the message that I'm sending to them is that what you've done, you've met the standard of that is necessary to have this case go forward. So I don't get to turn around after the fact, after the jury acquits or something, to suggest that that was less than a complete investigation. Those are the affirmative responsibilities that you exercise when that case is brought forward. There's many times that law enforcement will bring us a case to us that to screen, and we look at it and we say, you know what, we can't file it. This is missing. Go back and do additional follow-up. Or this critical piece of evidence needs to be fleshed out a little bit more. That's an interactive model. They're there to help us put this case forward, but it is my responsibility as the authorizing attorney to communicate that to them of those shortcomings. No felony in this county gets filed unless we, as the district attorney's office, are satisfied. And nobody gets the blame of those missed filings other than ourselves.
Sim, let's talk about gang violence here in the Salt Lake Valley. What are your plans when it comes to prosecuting gang violence going forward, and what can you do as the district attorney versus the police agencies themselves to try and bring more gang-related crimes to justice?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I mean, coming in, if I was to draw certain focuses that my administration wants to focus on in criminal justice issues, our focus is on violent crime. Our focus is, as I've already mentioned, white-collar crime, a victim-centered approach also. Our focus is on child abuse and child homicide cases. And one of the other focuses, critical focuses, is violent gang crime. And it's a complex issue, but the district attorney's office does have a role to play in it. One of the things that we are going to be focusing on, I've talked about, is my goal is to go after gangs as organized crime units. My goal is to establish a protocol where we do long-term investigations and we go after them as organized crime, and we go after both leadership and as many gang members as we can. But at the same time, it is good to make sure that we also don't miss the opportunity with our communities. You know, I was with the Salt Lake City Mayor's Gang Task Force. Mm-hmm. We have to acknowledge that there is economic poverty. There are opportunities for early intervention at the school level. There are things that are systemic failures that contribute to this. Start with some simple concept as truancy. Okay, if we don't interact and support local schools who support the local parents to get their children to school, juvenile crime usually occurs between 8 and 5. Why? Because they're not in school and everybody else is at work. And so it's an important component. There are things that we need to look at. Let me give you this simple, idea in this respect. Nobody would disagree with us that child abuse and violence towards a child in their developmental years is a good indicator of subsequent criminality. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, most people don't realize, and that's logical, and that's a logical inference, but most people don't realize not only child abuse, but child neglect is a co-contributor in subsequent criminality. Failure to thrive, failure to have adequate shelter, failure to have adequate food and familial support is also a co-indicator for subsequent criminality. So we have to reach into our communities to say, hey, you need to step up and address these issues with our children in our community. You need to intervene with this school support. You need to intervene at the community level. But as far as, let me be very clear about one thing. In my administration, we're going to take every violent gang as one of the most serious crimes that's going to be prosecuted, and our goal is to go after them aggressively and go after them towards incarceration at the prison if they use weapons or if they harm people.
And finally, Sim, we just have a few minutes left. In your role now as Salt Lake County District Attorney, do you see yourself as an advocate at the Utah legislature when it comes to changing the law to make crime easier to prosecute? For example, after the DJ Bell case, many people noted that Utah's hate crimes law doesn't specifically mention, for example, race or sexual orientation, and it was not applied in that case. Do you see yourself now as an advocate up at the Utah legislature, at the state capitol, in your new role?
Well, absolutely. Look, we are, when crime happens in our community, it is not the responsibility of a single institution to respond to that. There are many reasons and causes for why crime occurs. And as the head of this office, I am one voice that can share its experience. And we have, as as prosecutors. Our legislators are very open. They listen to us. We have the Statewide Association of Prosecutors, which goes out and tries to share information with our legislators about what are the challenges that we have in our criminal justice system, things that we need to address, what are the challenges that we may be anticipating, and the shortcomings that we may have. And that is a totally interactive conversation, and the Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office, along with all the county attorney's office, we have a statewide organization of all the district attorneys. Mm-hmm. We are there trying to educate our legislators, because through their education and their commitment to the change in our laws is the tools by which we get to fulfill on that promise of safety in our community. So it is something that I absolutely look forward to. It's a responsibility that I've carried on in the past, both as the city prosecutor and it's something that we are committed to engaged in the future.
We've been speaking with Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill on Politics Up Close. Sim, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. Wonderful to be here.